We read together once again from the Word of God, turning this time to the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 26. Matthew 26, it's on page 1003 in the Church Bible. We're thinking this evening in the Lord's Prayer about submitting to the Lord's will, knowing His will, obeying His will, and we have here in this passage the supreme example of what it means to submit to the Lord's will. Matthew 26, and we begin reading at verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, He fell on His face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit, indeed, is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, He went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, Your will be done." And again He came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, He went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then He came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep, take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Well, please turn with me in God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew once again, but this time to chapter 6 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, page 978 in the Church Bible. We're continuing this evening to work our way through the petitions that Jesus teaches us to ask in prayer. I wonder, do you have a motto for your life? A phrase, perhaps, that sums up your attitude to life? A slogan, a catchphrase that guides your actions and your priorities? A rule of thumb that you find yourself referring to again and again? Think, for example, of the SAS and their motto, "Who dares wins." In other words, you have to take risks. You can't get the victory by playing it safe. And I imagine that perhaps the soldiers of that crack troop, when they're asked to tackle some dangerous mission, when perhaps they're a little bit dubious about it, I can imagine them reminding themselves of the motto of their unit, "Who dares wins." You need to take risks in war. Well, this petition of the Lord's Prayer before us this evening, the third petition, could, I think, serve as a motto in the Christian life. Here is a prayer for us to pray every day of life. "Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." It constantly reminds us that what is all important is God's will, not our will. What He wants, not what we want. And a clear understanding of this third petition, I think, will help us to accept our circumstances and to guide us in all of our decision making. Here is a good rule of thumb to keep in mind whenever we come across any decision, any new situation. And it's especially helpful, I think, in coping with situations in our lives that are not what we would choose. Circumstances that we find difficult to accept. We need to get this third petition into our hearts. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a tremendously practical thing to pray every day. As usual, the Shorter Catechism sums up the meaning of this petition as well and as concisely as we could wish. Question 103. In the third petition, which is, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray that God, by His grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to His will in all things, as the angels do in heaven. And that answer, that catechism answer, explains to us that there are two aspects, two dimensions to the will of God. And each of those aspects of God's will require from us a different response. So I want us to look at these two aspects of the Lord's will this evening and think about how it is that we are to respond to them. So first of all, submitting to God's secret will. Submitting to God's secret will. This petition of the Lord's Prayer teaches us to submit to the Lord's secret will. The Bible is absolutely clear again and again that everything that happens in the universe, everything that happens in your life and my life, without exception, is the will of God. Because God is God, He decides everything that happens in the universe. Everything that ever has happened, everything that ever will happen. He is completely sovereign over every molecule in the universe. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, verse 11. He speaks about the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with His will, conformity with the purpose of His will. If something ever happened in the universe that God did not want to happen, then God would not be God. It would mean that there was another power in the universe whose power was greater than that of the Lord, and that is impossible. Daniel 4, verse 35. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, What have you done? We sang in Psalm 135, verse 6, The Lord does whatever pleases Him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and in all their depths. And from all eternity, God has been working out everything in accordance with His will. Everything that has ever happened in history is in accordance with His will. Even the fall in the Garden of Eden that we were thinking about in some detail last weekend, that was part of God's plan. It was in His will. It must have been, or else it wouldn't have happened. Even the men who crucified the Son of God were acting according to the will of God. That's not speculation. We're told it explicitly in Acts chapter 4, verses 27 and 28. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They killed Jesus, your son. And then listen to what comes next. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. It was God's will for Jesus to be crucified. Everything that happens is God's will. The theologians call this God's secret will, because we don't know what it is until it happens. That's why it's a secret. For example, is it God's will for it to rain tomorrow? Well, living in Northern Ireland, it probably is God's will for it to rain tomorrow, but we don't know that it is for certain, and we can't know, and we won't know until tomorrow when it happens, if it does. It's his secret will. Is it God's will for you to marry? Is it God's plan for you to get sick this year? Is it God's will for you to die in the next 12 months? How will you die? All of those things are decided by God. They are in his will. But it's his secret will. You can't discover them in advance. The term secret will comes from Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, where it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." So what does this petition mean then, as far as God's secret will is concerned? What does it mean to pray, "Your will be done," as far as God's secret will is concerned? Because we're not praying that we would know God's secret will, because we can't know God's secret will. We're not praying in this petition that we would do God's secret will, because we can't help but do God's secret will. No, when we pray this petition, "Your will be done," we are submitting to God's secret will. We're saying to the Lord, "I accept your providence," humbly and patiently. I'm not arguing. I'm not complaining. I'm not rebelling. I'm not going to become bitter. Your will be done. Whatever you have decided, Lord, I accept it. Whatever it is, whether it's good or bad, I accept it. The phone rings, and it's the doctor, and he has bad news. Test results that you really didn't want to hear. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray at that moment, "Your will be done." Lord, if this is your will for me, if your plan for me at this moment is to glorify you through suffering instead of good health, so be it. Your will be done, because you know best, and you are infinitely wise, and you haven't promised me good health, but you have promised that you will work everything for the good of those who love you. And so I rest in that, and I trust you. Your will be done. Perhaps you'd love your circumstances in life to be different from what they are. Perhaps you wish that you were married. Perhaps you wish that you had a different job. Perhaps you wish that you had a job, or that you lived in a different place. Perhaps you wish that you had different gifts. You'd love to be a fluent speaker. You'd love to be able to come and stand at the front and lead in prayer, or preach a sermon, or teach a story to the children in Sabbath school, or something like that. Maybe you wish that you had an outgoing personality, an easy personality that made lots of friends quickly and easily. Perhaps you wish that your circumstances in life weren't so limiting and restricting. And in all these things, Jesus teaches us to pray, Your will be done. I accept my lot as your good and perfect will for my life. Now perhaps you're thinking to yourself, that sounds like fatalism. That sounds like the kind of thing that the atheist says. But it's not remotely fatalism. Fatalism is saying, whatever will be, will be. Bad things happen, good things happen, there's no rhyme or reason to any of it. You just have to grin and bear it, because it doesn't make any sense, and there is no higher purpose. Whatever happens, just accept it. But that is not at all what Jesus is teaching us here. That could not be more different from the Christian position. And what makes the difference is that we know and we trust the person who is in charge. You remember how Jesus teaches us to begin our prayers. Our Father. And that awareness is to saturate and to seep through every single petition, everything that we pray. Remember, Jesus says, you're praying to your Father in heaven. And our Father is not like the Muslims' pathetic Allah, who says, according to one Islamic writing, these to heaven and I care not. These to hell and I care not. That's the Muslim God. Completely indifferent, completely aloof, completely unknowable, completely uninterested in those who worship this false God. Jesus says, you're not praying to a God like that. You're praying to your Father. And so when we pray this third petition, we're saying in faith to the Lord, I know that my circumstances are not determined by luck or by fate or by the stars. I know that they're decided by my Heavenly Father, who loves me with a perfect love and who knows in his infinite wisdom what is best for me, and who has promised that he will work all things together for the good of those who love him. Even the worst things that I can possibly imagine, and even the worst things that I can't imagine, he will work them for my good. He's promised that he'll never leave me, and that he'll never forsake me. He has a purpose. There is a purpose. I may not know what it is. I may never know what it is. But I believe that there is a purpose. Your will be done. Now, submitting to God's secret will doesn't for a moment mean that we can never try to change our circumstances. Again, that's what the Muslims believe. They think, well, if a man is poor, that's why there are so many beggars in Islamic countries. If a man is poor, it's because it's Allah's will that he should be poor. And if I give him money, I'm interfering with Allah's will. So just let him be. Complete indifference to the needs of others. But that's not where this takes us. It doesn't mean that we can never try to change our circumstances. If you're diagnosed with an illness, it doesn't mean that you can't go for treatment and try to recover. If you fail an exam, you don't say, well, your will be done, I failed it, that's obviously what God wants, and I can't possibly resit it. It doesn't mean that you can't try for a promotion or change your job or move house or anything like that. But it does mean that at the end of the day, we leave our circumstances in the Lord's hands, and we trust that he knows what he's doing. I mean, when you put it like that, is it such a hard thing to believe that God knows what he's doing? Lord, if it's not your will for me to get well, if it's not your will for me to get this job, if it's not your will for me to pass this exam after I've tried my best, if it's not your will for me to have that relationship, I trust you and I accept that you know best. And especially in hard times. Because sometimes it's very hard to believe that God is in control, isn't it? It's hard to understand how something could possibly be for our good. And in our finite understanding, we can't. We can't understand how something can be for our good. We shouldn't try. We shouldn't be too quick with explanations. But just because we can't understand how it can be for our good doesn't mean that it isn't for our good. We need to remind ourselves that no matter how things look, God is working out his purposes. That was what Joseph said, wasn't it? Genesis 50 and 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. The world has just fallen apart for the Israelites. The worst thing that they could possibly have imagined has just happened to them. Temples in ruins, they've been sent into exile, into Babylon of all places. But God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And so the Jews were able to say, your will be done. A few years ago, a family in Ballymoney lost their only son, 12-year-old son, killed in a car crash. And the death notice expressed this point perfectly. As for God, his ways are perfect. Imagine writing that. As for God, his ways are perfect. We don't know how this can possibly be for the best. But you do know, Lord. And whatever you do is perfect. And so this is perfect. We don't understand how it can possibly be perfect. How it can even be a good thing. But as for God, his ways are perfect. And you have your reasons, Lord, that we cannot know. And we trust you. Your will be done. That's faith. That's praying the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. And many of you are doing that at this very moment in your circumstances. Difficult, painful, anxious circumstances that God has ordained for you in his secret will. And yet you're patiently, faithfully bearing with it all. You're trusting God. You're saying to the Lord, your will be done. Submitting to God's secret will. But then, the other thing that this petition teaches us is about knowing and obeying God's revealed will. Knowing and obeying God's revealed will. God has his secret will, and he hasn't revealed to us all the details of his master plan, his secret plan for the universe. But there are many, many things that God has revealed. And God deals with you and me on a need-to-know basis. And he's told us a great many things about how he wants you and me to live. And we don't work those things out by guessing or by speculating. We don't have to depend on human tradition or human reason. We don't take a vote and see what the majority think. That's not how we discover God's will. You remember Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. So imagine a circle, and everything outside the circle, that is God's secret will. And we have no access to it until it happens. We can't know it until it happens. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But inside the circle is God's revealed will. And we are meant to know it. The things revealed belong to us, that we may follow all the words of this law. And we are to live inside the circle according to God's revealed will. And we're to devote great effort and great energy to discovering and obeying God's revealed will inside the circle. I suppose that's part of the reason why witchcraft and consulting spirits and mediums was so prohibited in the Old Testament, because it was trying to get access to God's secret will, ignoring what he has revealed and thinking too much about what he hasn't revealed and what we're not yet meant to know. God says, forget about that and concentrate on what is inside the circle. Those are the things that belong to you. Those are the things that you need to know. So when we pray, your will be done, we are praying that we will know what is inside the circle and that we will obey what is inside the circle. God's revealed will. And of course, God's will is revealed to us in the Bible, in Scripture. We don't work it out by our own ideas. We don't have to wait for a cryptic sign or a vision or a dream. No, if there's anything that we need to know, then God has revealed it to us in his word, the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible, then we don't need to know it. On any subject, we can discover what God says we need to know. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything you need to know on any subject, it's in this book. Now that has two very obvious implications, doesn't it? We need to know it, and we need to obey it. We need to know it. You can't carry out God's revealed will unless you know what it is. And so a wholehearted, diligent study of the whole counsel of God, the whole will of God, that has to be the priority of every Christian, doesn't it? We need to meditate on it day and night. There's so much of God's will, as we've seen, that's secret, it's hidden, it can't be known. But we'd better make sure that we are very, very familiar with the part of his will that he has made known. We'd better know that part inside out. And it's sad to say too many Christians today, I think, are far more familiar with TV trivia and pop lyrics than they are with God's revealed word. We have to read all of Scripture. We all have our favourite portions, but God didn't just give us the Psalms. He didn't just give us the New Testament or the Gospels. And his will for us, his will for your life, is not just found in one small, narrow part of the Bible. Obadiah and 3 John, they have crucial things to teach us about God's will, just as the rest of the Bible does as well. And we can't do it if we don't know it. We've got to know what his will is. And so if we're going to pray this petition sincerely, if we're not going to be hypocrites in praying this petition, then we need to be ready to do the hard work of learning God's will as it's revealed to us in Scripture. That means reading the Bible every day. It means reading books that will help us to understand the Bible every day. And it especially means coming and hearing the preaching of God's word on the Lord's day as often as you can. Because God isn't just going to beam the knowledge of his revealed will into your brain. We're great hypocrites if we pray the Lord's Prayer, if we pray this petition, and we don't expend any effort trying to understand God's word. If we want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we begin by finding out what that will is, by studying our Bibles. We need to know it, and we need to obey it. Because it's one thing to know God's will. That's good, that's essential. You can't do it unless you know it, but you haven't finished when you just know it. It's another thing to obey it. And knowing the right thing is no good at all if you're not going to obey it. And that's a challenge for us in the Reformed Church, who like teaching and who appreciate learning, and we enjoy knowing God's will. But are we obeying it? All that you know, all that you understand about the will of God, are you obeying it? Much is expected of those to whom much has been given. And what does Jesus say our obedience is to look like? What does he teach us to pray? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. That is a huge prayer request, isn't it? How is God's will done in heaven? That place of perfect righteousness and pure holiness, where the angels and the glorified saints carry out God's will. How do they obey God? What characterizes their obedience of God in heaven? They obey God immediately. They obey God diligently. They obey God always. They obey God wholeheartedly and without question and sincerely and cheerfully and with every ounce of their powers. That's how God's will is obeyed in heaven. And we're praying here that God will help us not just to know what he wants us to do, but to obey it just like that on earth. And I don't know about you, but my obedience to God's will is so often very, very feeble. And even when I do manage to obey his will outwardly, I'm conscious of how cold my heart is. And how mixed and impure my motives often are. I may be doing the right thing, but I'm doing it for wrong reasons. I don't delight to obey in the way that I know that I should. And so we need to pray this prayer every day for ourselves and for one another. God, help us to do your will with the same obedience, the same delight that the angels in heaven do your will. Submitting to God's secret will, knowing and obeying God's revealed will. And as I said earlier in the service, the Lord Jesus Christ himself shows us by his own example what it means to pray this petition. Hebrews 10 and verse 5 tells us that when Christ came into the world, he said those words that we sang in Psalm 40. I have come to do your will, O God. Our Lord's whole life from beginning to end was a life of perfect knowledge of God's will and perfect obedience of God's will. And supremely in the Garden of Gethsemane, the awful horror of the cross is before him. He's facing the prospect of bearing in his own body all the sins of all his people for all of time. And that prospect appalled him. He prayed that if there was any other way that salvation could be accomplished, that God would use that way instead. But he submitted to the will of God. Not my will, but yours be done. May we be given the grace to follow the Lord's example, and not just to pray these words with our lips, but to commit ourselves to submit to God's secret will, and to know and to obey his revealed will with all our hearts. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In my life, in my family, as it is in heaven. Let's stand as we come to prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the one who rules over all things. We thank you that no matter what happens in our life, in our world, it is your will that is working out. But all of human history is simply the transcript of your secret will. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the comfort and for the confidence that that brings us. And we pray that we will remember that at every point. As your secret will unfolds, may we remember that it is your will that is being done. May we submit to that humbly and joyfully. And Father, we pray that you will forgive us that we are so lackadaisical in our understanding and knowledge of your revealed will. Help us to search the Scriptures so that we can know the things that belong to us, that we may follow them, that we might observe everything that the Lord has spoken to us, so that we might hallow your name and bring glory to you on the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.